the Fade the Noise podcast with Brad Evans and Nate Lundy.
Place your bets. Brad the Big Noise Evans here, joined by the good sir Nathaniel Lundy. This is the Fade the Noise podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. And Lundy, there are a few things in this world that I love more than mandatory Montgomery at Jackals. That's my dude. That's my guy. That's my G. And right now at DraftKings Sportsbook, they have posted his rush yards prop. So very subjectively, Lundy, you know where I'm going with this. Break it out. Let's hammer Living Daylights out of the over 1,075.5 rush yards at minus 112. You will be the voice of reason here momentarily, and you could also be the voice of reason. This is posted via poll right now on my Twitter feed, at Noisy Huevos. By the way, follow Lundy, at Nate Lundy, on that social media medium. So I will share the poll results, and people will determine how loony I really am for my adoration for the mandatory one. But look, I have sensible reasoning here behind the fantastic feelings I have towards Monty. You know, last season on 247 carries, fell just shy of this number, 1,070 rush yards. And I know what you're saying. He had the easiest schedule in the history of mankind over the last, like, 5-6 weeks of the season. You know who actually had an easier schedule who is not getting all the finger points? That's Jonathan Taylor of the Indianapolis Colts, and nobody is poo-pooing him. But for whatever reason, people just love to crap on Montgomery, who, by the way, was number 4 in total yards created last season, who, by the way, was RB17, very respectable ranking there in yards after contact per attempt at 3.15, who, by the way, forced the fourth most missed tackles, 54, in all of the NFL according to Pro Football Focus last season. And over the last couple of years, he's got more missed tackles forced than Alvin Kamara and Derrick Henry and Dalvin Cook, you morons. And according to the Bears coaching staff, they believe that Montgomery can actually exceed what he did on the ground last season. Don't worry about Damian Williams. Don't worry about the human joystick, Tariq Cohen. This is Montgomery's show, and he is going to get ball in the belly early and often. Lundy, do you dare fade me on my love affair for mandatory Montgomery on the over 1,075.5 rush yards?
Well, the advantage is we're doing this pod from different locations, so even if I do fade you, you can't actually reach across the table and whack me upside the head.
Yeah.
Knowing that he did 1,070 in 15 contests, obviously we're talking about a 17-game schedule. Here's the big question. Is the coaching staff going to actually figure this out early in the season, or are we going to have to wait until Thanksgiving for him to hit triple figures in terms of his rushing yards? Because if you look across the beginning of last season, if you start to go game by game, you see the fact that he had way too many times where he was really slow on the uptake. Okay, this is a guy that clocked games against Indy at 27 yards, against Tampa with 29, against the Titans with 30. And I know we're talking about some good defenses here, but if he's going to hit that mandatory number that you want, he has got to not have those games where he is just sucking and only getting you 25 or 30 yards. So if they can make sure that he has some momentum at the beginning of the season, I'm a believer in the fact that running backs, it tends to snowball. So I'm going to follow you, but I'll tell you what, man, I got to see it within the first 5 weeks of the season, or I'm going to go ahead and tear that ticket up.
Sprint out as fast as you can, Montgomery, which isn't entirely all that fast, admittedly, as you just put out there. But still, I love the over, and you can vote on that, and you could potentially lock in that action right now at DraftKings Sportsbook, which is not only my favorite sportsbook, but also America's top-rated sportsbook app. I love using DraftKings Sportsbook. It's easy to navigate. There's plenty of instructions for new bettors and nearly limitless ways to get in on all that action. My friends and family have been digging DraftKings Sportsbook as well, and I know you will too. You got to listen to this redonkulous offer. DraftKings Sportsbook is putting you courtside with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in site credits. That's right. Pick any basketball team that is still in contention. Bet one buckaroo, and if they score the W, you win $100 in site credits. So here's what you got to do. It's a very simple process, folks. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use that promo code FTN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FTN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Colorado, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania residents only. New customers only. Wager paid out inside credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. With that, on this 4th of July weekend, let's get to another explosive edition of the Fade Five.
Number five.
All right, Lundy, we got another game in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You had the night off in hockey, but I know you're itching for some action, and you probably have at least a six-pack of picks, but I only need one, your best selection on the ice tonight in this toe-to-toe battle between the Canadiens and the Tampa Bay Lightning. What you got for me?
Well, let's go ahead and take that home team. They are now back north of the border in Quebec, and Montreal will be at home. They are a plus 114 on the money line, and I do believe that the Habs will take game three. So I'm going to take Montreal on that money line with that plus number. It's come down a bit in terms of the plus odds that they're getting. If you remember back to game one, even game two, Tampa a heavy, heavy favorite. But Montreal coming down a little bit, and frankly, they've been playing really well. Remember, with about 5 minutes to go in game two on Wednesday night, this was a 2-1 game. These teams continue to play close. Tampa winds up winning at 3-1. We hit the under on that one. I think Montreal takes this game tonight, makes this series 2-1. The downer to all of it, at least from a Montreal player standpoint, is that they actually petitioned the province to up their attendance from 3,500 to what would have been 10,005. They wanted to add 7,000 more people. They were denied that. So they're going to still only have the 3,500 folks, which obviously compared to what we have seen for the home games for the Lightning with the rabid fans down there in America's Wang. We understand that Montreal is just not going to have that same kind of support, which is kind of a bummer, but I know the ones that are there are going to make the noise that they can. But I don't know at this point in the season when these teams are so used to playing at limited capacity that's going to necessarily make a difference for Montreal. But I like what Carey Price has been doing. I really like the approach that Montreal did in game two. They came out and peppered shots, and in fact, they put 43 shots on goal against Vasilevsky in game two. I think they're going to do the same thing tonight. And I think this time Montreal scores the dub.
Boo! Canada, boo! Let more people in, for the love of God.
Number four.
All right, let's move on and let's go to Major League Baseball. We've kind of had a mixed bag of success this week. Yesterday was decent, except for the strange beginnings to the Jacob deGrom and Ian Anderson showdown. It was like 3-2 in the first inning, so that blew up my under 2.5 runs through five, Lundy. But there was like not another run scored after that. And Jacob deGrom, I think, is still striking out people. It was just insane after the rocky beginning that he had, his ability to just slam the door repeatedly on hitters. But we got the over on Milwaukee right. We missed on Luis Castillo. The Phillies got rained out, and Tyler O'Neill came through with a hit. So thank you for that. But other than that, craptastic. So let's get some better smelling picks in here. Let's start off with the under on the Dodgers and Nats. 8 total runs in the nation's capital, a minus 115. Splendid pitching matchup. A couple of slingers here in Max Scherzer and Julio Urias of the LA Dodgers. And Urias has got a 3.64 ERA on the road this year. Hat tip there, you know, nothing really to scoff at. Mad Max at home has been brilliant. Just a 1.96 ERA there with a 12.12 K per nine in its entirety on the season for the ace of Washington, and a call plus swing strike rate at 32.2%. Urias has got a 10-plus K per nine in his own right, doesn't walk a whole lot of guys, and has given up 3 earned runs or fewer in 13 of his last 16 turns of the rotation. You look at what Scherzer did early this season against the Dodgers in L.A., 6 innings, 1 earned run allowed. He's only given up, more than 2 earned runs one time in his last 14 starts. And Urias had a decent start, not a spectacular one, didn't qualify as a quality start. 5 2/3, 3 earned runs against this Washington team back on April 10th. But still, I think 8 runs, a little too high for me. I think this is going to be another like 3-2. Maybe 4-1 finish here in the end, and tuck comfortably under this 8 total again at minus 115. Fade or follow?
I will follow you on this one, not just because of what you already pointed out. You talk about the pitching matchup and all of that, but this is kind of what Washington does in home games because they've played, let me see here, 43 home games, Brad. 31 of them have hit the under. So this is just what happens to them when they're at home. So, I mean, we can talk about the pitching matchup. We can talk about, you know, hitting streaks. We can talk about any of those kinds of pieces. But for whatever reason, the Nats just not really doing a whole lot at home from a scoring standpoint. And so to me, when I see something like that and I see a home team that's going to be that way, I'm going to tuck comfortably under in this one. They obviously hit 8 right on the nose last night. So let's see them hit below this number again for a Friday.
Under. Miss those bets, Mad Max and Urias.
Number 3.
All right, sticking with the Major League Baseball theme, let's go to the Queen City in Ohio. And the Cincinnati Reds, and a guy who has just been raking all season long. Top buttons, they never should be buttoned. They need not apply when it comes to Nick Castellanos of the Big Red Machine. And I don't think we've ever featured this prop before, but it is offered at some of the books that are out there. Give me Castellanos to score a multi-hit game against Alec Mills and my Chicago Cubs at +160, Lundy. And Castellanos, against his former employer, all he has done is blasted the box score. In his career against the Cubs, he is batting .444, at least this year, I should say. He's batting .444 against the Cubbies. That's ridiculous. 12 for 27 from the dish with a couple of homers and 5 RBIs. He's hitting .327. At the plate here for the last 15 games. He's got 4 multi-hit contests in his last 8. And he's got 3 multi-hit games in 6 contests against the Cubs this season. And you look at Alec Mills, 5.11 ERA. Oh, and Castellanos, of course, he's had a tremendous amount of success against the spectacled hurler with a .447 mark at the plate. So 4 hits and 7 at-bats. So, again, Castellanos, he's got a double up. It could be like a 4-hit night for him based on all the trends, based on the friendly matchup, based on the bandbox as well there at the Great American Ballpark. So does he indeed get 2 or more hits of +160 against the Northsiders? What say you?
I like it. I'm following on this one. He's also a guy that does this in streaky fashion. If you go back and look at the month of June, Brad, he did it 11 times over the course of the month of June, but he also did it in bunches. He had at 1.4 games in a row of a multi-hit, 3 games in a row of a multi-hit around the middle of the month. So he's also a guy that tends to, you know, kind of find those streaks and find those grooves. And this could be the opportunity for him to be able to do it today. So, yeah, I'm all over this one. I like this one. This might be my favorite of your picks today. And you talked about how it's available at some books. DraftKings right now, over 1.5 hits, a +168. So there it is for you. You can find it there with our friends at DK.
Castellanos is gonna crush my Cubs. Stick around for more picks in Major League Baseball and looking ahead in the NBA playoffs.
Number 2.
All right, let's go to the NBA. No game on the slate tonight, but we got Bucks, we got Hawks, we got a Game 6 matchup coming up on Saturday. We'll see if Giannis goes. He was unavailable. You know what? We'll also see if Trae Young is able to play. I'm actually shocked that he has sat out now 2 games in the series. So a lot of the secondary weapons of both these teams with the megastars in street clothes have had to step up and rise to the occasion. And I got 2 props, nothing listed yet, but I just want you to kind of, you know, keep your eye on them. And they're both Bucks. Jrue Holiday, whatever the assist line is, give me the over. It was 10.5 in the last game at plus odds. He had 13 dimes in that game 5 W. He had 9 before that, a dozen and another matchup that was back, I believe, in game 2. He also had 10 assists in game 1. So, you know, consistently right there at that 10 assist line. It may be 9.5. It could be 10.5. It's really going to be dependent upon Giannis's availability. But whatever the line is, I think he's going to surge past the over. Same with Bobby Portis. You knew somebody was going to have to step up and fill those ginormous shoes of Giannis. And a number of guys did. Brooke Lopez had a masterful game last night. But Portis was the guy that I fully expected, talked about on the SiriusXM Fantasy Show, to step in and, you know, blast a box score. And he certainly did that. 9 for 20 from the floor with 22 points at 8 boards and 36 minutes played in that game 6. His points prop was 14.5. Now, if Giannis is indeed deemed out, I would expect that Portis's points prop will probably creep up a little bit, maybe 15.5, probably maybe 16.5. I would still take the over. Bobby Portis, the player, is one of my favorite guys out of the draft a few years ago from the University of Arkansas. So he's wanting more mega minutes. You saw how hungry he was last night, playing with a lot of exuberance and enthusiasm, and I think that will continue on into the next game. So keep your eye out on Holiday assists and Portis points, whatever those props are at DraftKings Sportsbook. Your thoughts, Lundy?
Yeah, I like it a lot. And in fact, in last night's game, Brad, you know, we talk about the PRA a lot. I actually snagged just the points and the rebounds on Portis as a combo, and it was only at 24.5. And so obviously he nearly crushed that just with his points. So that was one that he nailed. So I agree with you on his points. And I would also say that, you know, depending upon what those lineups wind up looking like for game six, keep an eye on not just that points one, but watch for his PRA as well, because last night's line was a pretty one for Portis. 22 points, 8 boards, 3 assists in there as well. He also had 3 steals, for crying out loud. I mean, guys just out there working hard. But you're right, somebody had to pick up the slack. Portis was the guy. So I'm really curious to see what these lines are going to open with on Saturday. Brad's exactly right, folks. Keep an eye on Holiday. Keep an eye on Portis. Watch to see what exactly those numbers are, because these books are all over the lines for guys like Middleton. Look for those folks that are kind of under the radar that can cash you a ticket.
Make some bucks with a pair of Milwaukee standouts, or best if you like cheap beer.
Number one.
All right, let's move on to the Major League Baseball prop of the day. And it's a name that you may not be all that familiar with here, Lundy. JT Brubaker. Who does he pitch for? Oh, that's right, the Pittsburgh Pirates. Yes, I'm betting on a bucko. Hopefully, I'm not going to walk the plank on this one. Going up against Milwaukee, and I'm going to take the over on 5.5 strikeouts at +110. Yeah, let's get seduced by that juice. He's been over this 5.5 K line in 7 of 14 starts this season, including against the Milwaukee Brewers. April 16th, he had 8 strikeouts and 6 innings pitched. So far this season, Brubaker at 8.69 K per 9 with a 1.97 walks per 9 mark and a 3.82 ERA. Nothing to really, you know, diminish in terms of your outlook on him in terms of what he has brought to the table this year. And you look at the Brew Crew, number 12 in terms of highest strikeout rate over the last 30 days. So Brubaker at home there in beautiful PNC Park, I think, is going to handle business, miss a lot of Milwaukee bats, and bang the over on 5.5 Ks. Do you disagree at +110, fade or follow?
Ooh, did you say plus? Wait a minute. Did you say plus? Because I actually really think this number is going to wind up being like right around 5. But at plus, I'll roll the dice on a plus bet if it means I get that hook to be able to sneak in there for me. So yeah, I'll tell you what, I will follow you on this one, because I've been looking at it. I was looking back at his most recent game logs. He had those 9 strikeouts against the Indians. But I'm like, man, I just need to see some consistency out of this guy, because he's all over the place. But then, Brad, then on a Friday, as we get ready to try not to blow appendages off with various
don't
exploding
items. Don't go JPP
items.
On me, man.
Exactly. As we try to avoid all of that, you had me at plus. So I'll celebrate America's birthday with you by following, but it's only because of the plus odds. Otherwise, this one probably just scares the bejesus out of me. I'll be honest with you. I think that hook's going to come into play, my man.
All right. Well, hopefully not. Hopefully he'll cruise past it like he did in that first matchup against Milwaukee. All right. Strike up the band, Lundy, for the holidays. Let's get the Barbie ready. Let's crack open a brew and let's stuff our faces into some good old-fashioned apple pie. It's bonus time, my man. What you got for me this holiday weekend?
Well, you know, I like these cross-sport parlays, but obviously we're sitting on an off day where we don't have the two teams playing at the same time. And as of tape time, there were still a handful of the strikeout props, et cetera, that aren't posted. So here's what I'm going to do, folks. I'm going to lay out for you a couple of the player props that I like in the Montreal-Tampa game tonight in Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. And then you pair it up with whatever you want. I'll give you the ice side. You go out and find
choose
the fire.
Your own adventure.
Let's roll with this. Remember, I mentioned the fact, and this was what I expected the game plan to be in Game 2, which was that Montreal was going to come out and pepper shots on goal. We missed on Brendan Gallagher and our picks on Wednesday, but I think that Montreal is going to do that same kind of thing. So a couple of guys that I just want you to keep an eye on the shots on goal. Brendan Gallagher, once again, over at 2.5. His plus odds are at +105. He had just a single shot in that last game, and therefore I think that the law of averages catches up to him, and he gets up and over that number. Because remember, my whole theory on Wednesday night was that Nick Suzuki had zero shots in game one. Yeah, he had nine on Wednesday. So I think Gallagher might try to make up for that one. Also, Tyler Toffoli, over 2.5 shots on goal. Same thing. He's at a minus 118. He had three of them in game two. So I definitely am all over that one. On the Tampa side, how about Victor Hedman to go under 2.5 shots on goal? That's right. I'm taking an under on this one. It's juiced up to minus 143. But this is a guy that's just where he's going to wind up living, I think, is in that one or two mark. There's so many solid offensive guys for Tampa that he just doesn't always get his shots. So go under on Hedman, go over on Gallagher, and over on Tyler Toffoli.
Ooh, daddy like. All right, I'm going to fire off at a couple of bonus times in Major League Baseball. Give me the over on Casey Mize. 4.5 strikeouts and minus 120 against the Chicago White Sox. This is mispriced. It should be a tick higher at 5.5 Ks. Casey Mize in two starts against the Southsiders this season. Six strikeouts. Ooh, I like the king of consistency there. He's been over this in six of his last eight games. The Chi Sox, number 16 in Major League Baseball in terms of highest K rate over the last 30 days. But Mize, 2.79 ERA since May 1st. Very quietly stringing together a very nice season. Finally, give me the under in the scorching hot Great Northwest, where faces have been melting all week long, on the Seattle Mariners, 3.5 runs against Texas. Plus 107 on this one. I can't fade Kyle Gibson, who is having an incredible year for this Rangers club. 1.52 ERA in his last 29 and two-thirds innings pitched. Seattle, meanwhile, at home, bats rather quiet with a 648 home OPS. They have been under this, though, in three of seven matchups. That's it against the Rangers this year. But I think they're going to add another tick on the left-hand side of that box and not hit four runs. Again, at plus 107. And that is a wrap on this edition of the Faith and Noise podcast. Follow Nate Lundy on Twitter at Nate Lundy. Follow me there at Noisy Weibos. And before we get out of here, poll results on my boy Mandatory Montgomery. Will he go over or under on his 1,075.5 rush yards prop? Just over 100 votes cast. And the winner, people love me, apparently. Over at 57.6%. 42.4% said under. Matthew Girardi added, barring injury, he should hit this easily, by the way. That's what he says. So thank you, Matthew, for seeing it through my lens, which is very polluted with all kinds of love.
It's polluted with alcohol. Be honest with
tequila.
People.
Tequila, yes. Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. And occasional hits from the bong as well. But, you know, you got to live your life a little bit. So I'm going to do that. I think Mandatory Montgomery's going to go nuts this season. Make you some money with him. And as always, enjoy your fourth. Feed or follow. That is up to you.
Feed the noise.